You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the UFC Buzz Podcast with a BT Sport pundit, Gareth A. Davis, standing by to preview what is a wonderful card on December the 30th, UFC 207, Nunes versus Rousey, and we have some cracking fights to preview right here and right now. Dave Callan here in the studio in Leeds and joined by Gareth A. Davis on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Gareth.
A very warm welcome to you as well, David, into my sphere.
I'm looking forward to this because we've got three big fights we're going to preview with a heavyweight clash to start things off and two bantamweight title fights, one on the men's side and then the return of Ronda Rousey on the women's side as well. Should be a big, big night in Las Vegas, Gareth.
It always is at the end of the year, Dave. And of course, this is called She's Back. And there's only one person that's placed in reference to, and that's Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Lots and lots of intrigue around this card and how Ronda Rousey is going to recover in the octagon, recover, if you like, her standing as the leading pioneer in women's mixed martial arts, coming back from that December, astonishing November 2015 KO defeat to Holly Holm. We've barely seen Ronda Rousey since. We've seen her on the Ellen DeGeneres show, saying how she felt suicidal afterwards, how she was at her very, very lowest. We've seen her make one appearance opposite Amanda Nunes on the brilliant UFC 205 card at Madison Square Garden on stage after the weigh-ins, where she said nothing. She just faced off with Nunes, Amanda Nunes, the champion, and then just stormed off. So there's a lot to discuss with this. I know we're going to come back to this fight, but this is an amazing card. It's a Ronda Rousey show.
I'll spin you through the betting for that fight very, very shortly. But let's start with the heavyweight clash between Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum, which is one of the huge fights on a wonderful card. And Velasquez is 4-9 here with William Hill to win this. Fabricio Werdum 7-4. This is a clash of former heavyweight champions with the number 2 seed Werdum versus the number 3 seed Velasquez here, and they have met before. They met back in 2015 when Werdum beat the then champion Cain Velasquez to take the title, and this is a clash that is mouth-watering, number 2 and number 3 seeds, and one that is expected to, I think, go the distance, Gareth, perhaps.
Well, look, I mean, the fight they had in Mexico City was a peculiar affair, of course. It's been a weird period for Cain Velasquez. He saw off Junior Dos Santos and made himself the number one in the world. He lost, of course. If you go back through his history, he was a very, very young champion when he won it from Brock Lesnar in 2010. You know, I say young champion, he was 28 then, but he was young in the sport. He has this great run after losing to Junior Dos Santos then, when he wasn't physically well, beats Antonio da Silva, Junior Dos Santos twice, absolutely batters him both times for five rounds and destroys Antonio Silva twice in a round. Then he comes up against Fabricio Werdum in this homecoming fight, if you like, in Mexico City, where, you know, he's going back to his ancestry as a Mexican-American, and he absolutely commits a schoolboy error by not going out to Mexico City soon enough and doesn't look great at altitude at all. He's gassed within a round and a bit, and Fabricio Werdum just beats him up for the last round and a half and stops him in the third round and submits him. Look, since then, he's come back and he's got a victory over Travis Brown, as in fact Fabricio Werdum has a victory over Travis Brown. But Werdum, in the meantime, has lost the title belt to Stipe Miocic, who now holds the title. So it's a fascinating matchup. And the man who wins this fight, I think, will challenge Stipe Miocic probably in March or April next year for the UFC heavyweight crown. They both know, Dave, what it feels like to be the heavyweight champion. They both know that Cain Velasquez has fast hands, but Werdum has much improved striking. This was a guy, by the way, who was a brilliant jiu-jitsu fighter to begin with, a ground fighter, that has really developed over under Rafael Cordero at King's MMA and really developed his Muay Thai and his striking. For me, I think Stipe Miocic is the number one in the world right now, but I would love to see Cain Velasquez win this, because I'd like to see him up against Stipe Miocic next year. But it's going to be a very close affair. But if Fabricio Werdum is the champion at Mexico City altitude level, for me, Cain Velasquez in this fight is the champion at Nevada desert level. And I think he wins this fight with the speed of his hands.
Cain Velasquez, the pick at 4-9. Is this the last stand for both fighters in terms of making another charge at the heavyweight title? Because you mentioned the age of Velasquez. He's now 34 years old, but he's undergone extensive surgery throughout his career. And Werdum is now 39, Gareth.
Yeah. Well, Werdum, I think it is, you know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Werdum had another shot at the title, even if he lost this, because the heavyweight division in the UFC really is snakes and ladders. Any of these top five or six guys, they string four or five victories together. And, you know, maybe you are talking 2 years there to do that. They get a title shot again. But I think you're probably on the money, Dave, with Werdum. Unless he wins this, it's a long shot that he'll fight for the title again. Velasquez, different story. You know, he's come back from injury. It just depends how his body holds up for the next 2 or 3 years. It's a fascinating contest. They've met before. Velasquez has a lot to do to prove again that he is, because a lot of people feel he's the number one in the division, but he's got a lot to do. I mean, the funny thing is about the UFC heavyweight division, by the way, David, you know, over the course of time, because they wear 4-ounce gloves, a jab can change a fight in the heavyweight division. One big punch can change it. These are very, very big men, remember, you know, up to 265 pounds, these guys, some of them. So, you know, no one's held the belt for more than two title defenses in the heavyweight division. That's how extraordinary this division is. And a lot of people feel that with his boxing skills and his wrestling skills and his baseball skills, believe it or not, Stipe Miocic could be the guy to do that. But Cain Velasquez would represent a serious challenge to the incumbent champion.
Cain Velasquez is 4-9. Do you think the fight goes the distance or not, Gareth?
No, I think Velasquez wins in the third round by TKO.
A third round win for Cain Velasquez. 4-9 is. We will have the other markets available on the William Hill website come fight night on December the 30th. Let's move on to the first of the two bantamweight title fights at UFC 207. And it's Cody Garbrandt versus Dominic Cruz. And Dominic Cruz is the overwhelming favourite at 4-9 here, Gareth. Cody Garbrandt is 7-4. 25 years old, Garbrandt, 10-0 in his MMA career so far. And widely talked about as the most promising fighter in the division as well, Gareth, Cody Garbrandt. But Dominic Cruz has had plenty to say about Garbrandt in the lead up to this fight. And he sees him as a young pretender and someone that hasn't got the constitution to take on Dominic Cruz, Gareth.
Well, you know, Cruz at 31 is 6 years older than Garbrandt. Garbrandt's unbeaten in 10 fights. I think the standout fight really so far, which has really put him on the map, is the knockout of Thomas Almeida, who's a very dangerous striker himself. And Almeida, perhaps if he'd won that fight, would be the guy now challenging Dominic Cruz for this title. Yeah, I mean, Cruz has talked a lot about how easy it is to keeps going on about that he's got the whiskers of a high school kid, all this kind of stuff. But you know what? Dominic Cruz talks from extreme confidence. He's on a 13-fight winning streak. He hasn't lost since March 2008. So you can imagine just how confident he is. At 8.5 years, he hasn't lost for. So, you know, and he's beaten all comers in the division. And he what he did do brilliantly, I thought, was take a step outside the sport between October 2011 and 2014 when he was injured. And then from 14 to 16, knee surgeries. He's come back really, really strong. He's a very, very elusive fighter, very hard to pin down. He's never standing in front of you. He's brilliant at throwing punches while on the move, going backwards or forwards. He's looked unbeatable. I mean, he came back from a year and almost a year and a half out, beat TJ Dillashaw to win back the UFC bantamweight title. You know, that was just an incredible performance. I mean, I thought Dillashaw might have pipped that fight, but that's not how the judges saw it. Cruz has a very, very high fighting IQ. He's developed an amazing style with Eric Del Fiero at Alliance MMA, his head coach at Alliance MMA in San Diego. And, you know, unless Garbrandt lands the big shot, I don't see him unseating the champion. But there is a possibility. Garbrandt by knockout, I imagine, is knocking around as a decent odds with William Hill. But ultimately, you'd expect Cruz to be elusive and win this fight on points, I'd say.
So you think Cruz is going to win the fight. Is there a possibility with Garbrandt? He's just got a puncher's chance, Garbrandt. Is that correct?
Well, no, he's got a lot of skills. Listen, I would say if I was betting on this fight, I mean, you haven't given the odds yet, but if I was betting on this fight, I wouldn't. A Garbrandt, if I was doing spread betting on this on this entire card, and I was spreading my bets out, a Garbrandt knockout, I would put as one of my bets on this card, because if he does land, he's a killer. He's as simple as that. He's got very, very powerful hands, and if he does get hold of Cruz, he will knock him out.
That will be around about the 5-2 mark, Garbrandt, to knock out Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz, on points when these markets become available, around about even money, Dominic Cruz on points. But Dominic Cruz is long odds on 4-9 to win this fight. And given what you've said, Gareth, that looks about right, doesn't it? You fancy Cruz to beat Garbrandt?
I do, but, you know... When we're doing these picks, there's always the thing, you've got to put your neck on the line, haven't you? I don't want splinters in my backside. So, and you know, because you're only going to get the Twitter trolls coming after you. And who wants trolls and splinters over Christmas? No one does. So I'm going Cruz on points. But Garbrandt is an upsetter, what we call in fight sports. He's clearly a guy who can go in there and cause mayhem. I think Cruz has been very clever in getting under his skin as well in the lead up to this fight. And I think we might see Garbrandt a little bit reckless, but it would not surprise me at all either to see him knock Cruz out. But if I was betting my house on it, I would have to say Cruz, because he's proved it over and over again that stylistically, with his fighting IQ, he works people out when he's in there with them. He's also, you know, as I say, beaten TJ Dillashaw. He's beaten Uriah Faber twice. So it's a long, long time ago. But you look down his victories: Demetrius Johnson, Scott Jurgensen, Joseph Benavidez. I mean, a lot of these guys, to be fair, are now in the flyweight division. But he's beaten most of the guys he needed to beat. It's as simple as that. He's a brilliant champion. He's also a brilliant analyst for Fox Sports. And you see it with Dominic when he's analysing fights, that he's got this incredible insight that a lot of other fighters don't have. So it's crazy to bet against Dominic Cruz. From my perspective, if I'm doing one pick for this fight, I've got to go with Dominic Cruz, either by late stoppage or by decision.
Let's move on to the main fight of the night, Ronda Rousey versus Amanda Nunes. And Ronda Rousey 4-7 here with William Hill. Amanda Nunes is 11-8. We do have, at time of recording this on Tuesday morning, the 20th, a method of results betting, round betting, fight to go the distance, and you can bet on over or under 1.5 rounds as well. Rousey 4-7, Nunes 11-8, and Ronda Rousey is the only fighter in this division to have a prolonged stretch of dominance, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey.
That started with her first win over Misha Tate, who was then the champion of Strikeforce. And she was really the first big name in the sport, Gareth, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, really, she was. You know, it was her fifth MMA fight. She took the women's bantamweight title, started this Arlie Frazier-like rivalry, or Tito Ortiz-Chuck Liddell-type rivalry with Misha Tate. And, you know, when she defended the title against Sarah Kaufman and the UFC took over Strikeforce, bought it out, you know, it was a big, big thing when she came into the UFC. Dana White, the UFC president, saying that they'd never have women in the UFC. But there we go. February 20th, history was made when she fought Liz Carmouche. She showed incredible tenacity in that contest as well, when Carmouche had her in a rear naked choke and a standing rear naked choke, and she got out of it. And then, you know, from there she defended five times, and really became a legend in the sport and became a huge star, crossover star, Hollywood movies. You know, she's done 3 or 4 of those now. And then came to this shuddering defeat in Melbourne, Australia last November, trying to outstrike and outbox Holly Holm, who's been a multiple world champion in boxing and kickboxing as well, a real adept fighter, long, lean, southpaw, great feet. And of course, she got kicked in the head and was knocked out. It was a tough night for Ronda Rousey. She got hit early on by the southpaw fighter in the face. She didn't know where she was in the octagon that night. And it was, you know, the house of cards came crumbling down. I think there was a feeling that Ronda Rousey was starting to believe all the hype that, you know, she was the female Mike Tyson, but she wasn't. The way to describe Ronda Rousey is that she was the equivalent of Royce Gracie when he first came into the UFC in the early 90s, with this Brazilian jiu-jitsu that nobody really knew how to combat. And he was able to submit boxers and wrestlers and get them in chokes, get them in holds. No one knew the technique to counter him. With Ronda Rousey, she came into the UFC with this incredible armbar submission that she's had. If you see, you know, four, five, you know, almost 10, I think it's 10 of her 12 victories are by way of, you know, it's the way that she destroys people. She's got to go back to that against Amanda Nunes, get her in the clinch, get her on the ground and rip that arm off her. Because if she tries to strike with this woman, Amanda Nunes, it's going to be very dangerous. But for the good of the sport, we need to see a healthy Ronda Rousey back. If she doesn't come back strongly in this fight and she does implode, it might be the end of her. You never know.
She has been out of the public eye, as you mentioned earlier, for a long period, a long stretch of time, Gareth. Does she deserve to be favourite coming back, or is there enough doubt about her abilities now to think that Amanda Nunes might be a good bet as the outsider?
Well, I remember speaking to Kat Zingano, another one of the bantamweight contenders. She defeated Amanda Nunes, but I remember Kat telling me that she'd never been as badly hurt as that Amanda Nunes fight, that it took weeks to recover. Because Ahoot Nunes hits so hard. And I think what Nunes does, she comes out of the blocks quickly and she is a terrific power fighter. She's very explosive. She throws very, very heavy shots and she puts it all in there. It's like she's from, it's like the train is running at full speed with her as soon as the fight starts. And I think if you can weather an early storm from Nunes, I think you've got a great chance in the fight. Misha Tate found that to her detriment when she defended the title against Nunes, that, you know, she came out of the blocks quickly and she was on her and she couldn't do anything to stop this runaway train hitting her and hitting her over and over again. I think it's going to be the same for Ronda Rousey, that she's got to be careful not to engage in a striking power of strength fight with Nunes early. She's got to be smart. She's got to get hands on and she's got to get her to the ground. she can take it to the ground early, she's got a great chance of recovering. But, you know, I think in answer to your question, I think it's a big call to make her the favourite coming back after 13 months out. The problems she's said she's had mentally. In my view, Nunes is the marginal favourite going into this contest. Simply because she's been active this year and she's been so powerful. And I think Rousey, it just depends which Rousey turns up. If she's full of it again, if she really is back to her very best, if she really believes in herself, then we could see the best Ronda Rousey we've ever seen. But it all comes down to the mental and physical preparation that she's gone through and whether she's ready again, really, really ready again, because the UFC needs her as a big star. As we close out the year, if Ronda Rousey doesn't win this, Dave, the UFC is left with one major star who's in a winning position in 2017, and that's Conor McGregor. He's their biggest star. If Rousey wins, they've got two really big, they've got the king and the queen on the chessboard to play with big promotional events in 2017. John Jones, the real athletic star of the sport, is still out, of course, and not back yet. Because when he comes back, you get your rooks and your bishops and your castle back as well, if you like. Because the rest of them are just pawns, really, in this big $4 billion picture. But if she wins, it means so much to the UFC. It's funny, you know, in the advert for this fight, Ronda Rousey gets more airtime eating her cereals, as one of my friends, Michael Owens from Fighters Only magazine, pointed out to me yesterday, than Amanda Nunes gets in the whole preview video. So it's a peculiar scenario. She's ever popular. The UFC would want her at the top of her game, because otherwise they're bargaining with Conor McGregor to come back next year. And he's a man who's making huge demands on them at the moment. This is why it's a really big fight individually, but it's a massive contest for the UFC to end the year.
What's the prediction, Gareth?
Splinters again. I've got this nagging... I hope to be proved wrong here. And I hope that Ronda Rousey comes back as the best Ronda Rousey we've ever seen. Kind of Mark II, if you like. But I think Nunes is going to get into her early. And unless Ronda can spin her and get her over like Michelle Waterson did to Paige VanZant last weekend, and get her in a chokehold or an armbar hold, I think Nunes will smash through her. I've got a sneaking feeling that Amanda Nunes is going to bring too much for Ronda, and that she's been away too long, and that she's going to find it really hard work in the public eye. I'm going to go Nunes on a shock defeat, but I'd love to be Nunes on a shock defeat of Ronda, knocking her out in the first round or early in the second. But do you know what? I would love to be proved wrong.
Amanda Nunes by a knockout, technical knockout or disqualification here with William Hill is 5-2. And if you like Nunes to win in round one, that is available at 3-1. We've been through the three big fights on the night. Gareth, is there anything else that stands out?
I mean, you know, the other fight on the main card, TJ Dillashaw and John Lineker, you know, the number one and number two challengers in the men's bantamweight division. Lineker tried at flyweight, failed. I think it's five times he failed the weight cut. He's a terrific body puncher, and he's got he really is hands of stone. And TJ Dillashaw was the champion when Cruz was away. And is a terrific fighter as well. That's going to be an all-action fight. Puncher against mover. Dillashaw's got heavy power as well. It's going to be a thrilling contest, that, quite frankly. And it's a really, really good main card. But, you know, there's other great fighters on the card. Welterweight Brandon Thatch is on in the prelims. I mean, I love his Muay Thai fighting skills. And there's going to be a great matchup on the prelims between Johnny Hendricks, the former welterweight champion, and Neil Magny. So it's a really, really strong card.
Very good. Thank you for your company, Gareth.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Dave, and I've thoroughly enjoyed doing these with you this year, and can't wait to get cracking in 2017, because it's going to be another big year.
Me too. Looking forward to it immensely. Thank you to Gareth A. Davis. You can follow Gareth on Twitter at Gareth A. Davis DT. You can follow myself at D. Kellner. Check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com and check out the UFC betting page at williamhill.com ahead of UFC 207 from Las Vegas. All the betting on the William Hill website. And myself and Gareth will be back on the UFC Buzz podcast next year. Enjoy Christmas, folks. Make sure you check out the betting for December the 30th. And we'll be back in the new year.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.